now call the July meeting of the Franklin Township Community School Corporation School Board to order. Will please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
Second.
Moved Ms. Folk, second Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. At this time, we would like to open it up for public comment. Anybody who'd like to speak to the board tonight, please come to the podium, introduce yourself, your address, and you're given 3 minutes to speak. All right, seeing none, we will move into our consent agenda. The consent agenda includes board meeting minutes from our meeting on June 21st, the fund and expenditure summary reports, the account payable vouchers and payroll claims, personnel report, donations, fundraisers, surplus equipment for disposal, and our 2021 records for destruction. Can I get a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda? Moved Ms. Gowan.
Second.
Second Ms. Downer. Is there any discussion about the consent agenda tonight? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Now we will move into the discussion item. Central 9 report. Ms. Downer.
Central 9 is gearing up to start the school year. And they are fully staffed, so that is great. We did finish the evaluation for the director and set the goals for the next year. So we're off to a good start on that as well. All of the school districts partnering did pass the budget for the construction project, so that will be starting in the next few weeks. And other than that, we're off to a great start. So,
any questions for Ms. Downer? All right, seeing none, we will move to the FTEF report, which I am giving. I know Di couldn't make it tonight, but we have a big event coming up on Saturday, the Fast Flash in our first ever Back to School Bash. She's happy to report the Fast Flash has nearly 400 participants registered and that they have new trophies this year for the winners of the races. They're kind of neon flashes, so those are exciting for the winners. The Back to School Bash is a brand new community event. There will be games, the library bookmobile will be there, concessions, the Franklin Central High School athletes will be offering skills drills. WRFT will be there. Each school will have a table. The district HR will have a table. And there will be two splash towers with FTCSC celebrities, volunteers in the hot seats. And she says they have room for more celebrity volunteers, so just let her know if you'd like to be a part of these splash towers. Otherwise, I know they're looking for a good event, and that's all I have to report for FTEF. Any questions? All right, seeing none, we will move to policy revisions. Dr. Pettit.
Internet use policy, so that's what we added
Any questions for Dr. Pettit? All right, seeing none, we will move to our public hearing on the Third Amendment to lease. And I'll hand it over to Mr. McWhorter.
All right, thank you. So tonight we're going to have a public hearing on the Third Amendment to our lease in regards to the Kittley Intermediate Project. Previously, first of all, we have a couple professional partners with us today that'll help us get through this process. We have Brock Browser with Baker Tilly's financial advisor, and then we have Jane Herndon, who's an attorney with Ice Miller, who's our bond counsel. So when we get to that point in the presentations here, they'll come to the mic and help us answer any questions we have. But to kind of rewind a little bit and remind people what's kind of happened at this point is this is just one step in a several step process. So prior to this step, we've already had hearings on the Kittley project itself and the need for it. And Tyler, can you put that slide up just to kind of remind people of it? And so the board has basically already approved moving forward with the project. What the board will be looking at tonight and getting input from the public is the form of the lease. So the project itself, we've already talked about the need, where we're 97% capacity this past year with our preliminary numbers that we have right now. I think Kent sent it to me. We have 1,293 students of the 1,300 capacity. So we'll be at 99.4% capacity as of today. Give us a couple days, we'll probably be at 100 or more. So the need, we saw this coming to add an academic wing as well as, do you have the map there, Tyler? As well as, there you go. So added an academic wing off the east side of the building as well as a PE area, gym, and then a cafeteria area. Do some restroom renovations and some other renovation, but that main corridor there through the media center gets renovated as well. So that will bring the capacity of the building up to at least 1,500 from its current 1,300. So the goal, as we talked about, our demographic study is to get 1,000 kids per grade level capacity. And so we have two intermediate levels with three grade levels each. So we need 3,000 kid capacity, and we currently only have 2,400. So this will bring one of the buildings, 2,600. We'll bring one of the buildings from 13 to 15. And then in the future, we'll need to upgrade Edgewood to get to that 1,500 capacity as well. So that's kind of a reminder. We've been through this. We've had hearings on this. We actually went through the referendum process on this to where we had a public hearing, had a waiting period where people could file a remonstrance to send it to a referendum. That did not happen. So therefore, we're moving forward. And so any debt issued in regards to this project will be under the tax cap as opposed to over the tax cap. So those people who may be worried about property tax caps, they're already capped at 1%, so you will not be paying any more than the 1% that you're currently paying now. This project will not cause that to increase, whereas a referendum would, for example. So with that, I'd like to bring Brock Bowser up to kind of remind the board of some financing options that we have here, and we're waiting on some information. It's good information for us to have, and then we'll bring Jane up here in a minute, and then we'll let the public have comment as well after that. Thanks.
Thank you, President Smith, members of the board. Pleasure to be back here this evening to talk about this project again. Thank you, Mr. McWhorter. Goal for my part of the presentation is to review outstanding debt as of today for Franklin Township and look at the parameters established for the legal documents on how we can proceed with the financing of this project. So get us started. This to move it forward. Gotcha.
Yeah, that'll turn the lights on.
Don't want to do that. So for those number of people out there, these are the outstanding debt as of today. And as this board has previously seen, 2021 represents the peak debt when you look at the outstanding payments plus increment. You can see that approximately $5.9 million increment budget that goes away after 2021. That leaves us a pretty significant opportunity to consider additional payments and structuring these as early as 2022. So as this board knows, as well as any throughout the state of Indiana, if you issue bonds in 2021, you begin repayments in 2022. So that brings us here to this evening to consider the bonds to be issued in 2021, again, to begin repayment in 2022. So $28.2 million is the budget for all debt payments in 2021, and we decrease to $22.4 million in 2022. From there, we continue to have that decreasing payment level, so we're in a really nice position because of how well this board has managed its debt the past handful of years, where it presents an opportunity to be here this evening. Beyond the numbers, those who like to see the actual visual graph on the next slide, same information, again, just graphically, where you can see in 2021, we have a peak debt year. The striped, the barbershop striped bar represents the increment that goes away after 2021. And as, again, this board knows, we have debt beginning to fall off. So one of the options you'll see here in a few slides is looking and targeting in 2026 and 2027. And I'll work with Dr. Hibbard and Mr. McWhorter, wrestling with the opportunity to begin refilling 2026 and 2027 so taxpayers don't expect or experience that drop, then jump right back up in 2028. So there is one option that we'll look going forward where we could consider filling in those bonds. So outstanding debt as of today, all bonds mature in 2030 by 2036 based upon today's outstanding debt. The next slide for how we've built in the flexibility in the parameters, you'll see that the parameters allow for a maximum of a 10-year repayment, but in the three options, working with Dr. Hibbard and Mr. McWhorter, looking at anywhere which could be a 3-year repayment in the second model up to a 6-year repayment in the third model. So some,
that's to avoid interest costs.
Yep. So the variables that will lead us to our decision making, whether we pursue a 3-year, 4-year, or 6-year, is net assessed value that's to be released sometime in early to late August. So basically anytime in August is when we expect to receive the 2022 certified net assessed value. Then as we monitor the interest rate environment, when we expect to sell these in early November, those will be the two driving forces or two driving variables to help us decide which is the best repayment option for Franklin Township Schools. But for tonight, no decision needs to be made besides knowing that the fact that in all three scenarios, the parameters have the flexibility to develop a repayment based upon either of the three. Looking how, and I want to emphasize, and I can't emphasize it enough, that taxpayers will not experience an increase based upon where they are in 2021 because all three options keep the repayments within the 2021 level. So I want to continue to hammer that home that nothing is expected to increase more than 2021. So as we look at a little more detail in the next slide, for the first option, a max issuance of $16.5 million. The gray bars represent the outstanding debt that you saw on slide 3. The light blue now represents the first option for $16.5 million, a 4-year repayment. So we can pay these off, begin repayment in 2022, and the bonds will mature by 2025. So it still keeps a lot of flexibility in considering projects in the future as well. So in all three options, like I mentioned, getting in and out of the market with relatively low interest cost. So you can see how that compares to 2021. This option keeps everything within repayments from budget year 2020. So again, keeping everything within our current repayment for 2020 and 2021 in this option. Option two is that more condensed or shorter repayment, call it an accelerated repayment, where we're keeping the payments within the 2021 year. So we're able to get in and out of the market because we're budgeting now to that around that $28.2 million mark that you heard on slide 2 and saw on slide 3. In and out of the market, low interest cost, gives us flexibility, again, as early as 2023 to consider future projects. That's option two. Then last option is an extended repayment where you heard me talk about targeting 2026 and 2027 if we want to begin refilling those payment years to level off those payments in the future. This is the repayment structure we can consider for option three, which would be a six-year repayment.
And that's an option to consider since we're since the interest rate environment is so low at this point in time.
So
and that sets us up for the future as far as level payments go.
So we'll weigh the trade-off between all three options, working with Dr. Hibbard and Mr. McWhorter moving forward. But the parameters this evening to be considered give you flexibility to pursue any of the three options. We'll see where certified net assessed value comes in next month and continue to hope that interest rates stay low for this bond issue and manage it which best works for Franklin Township and primarily the operations fund for circuit breaker. Welcome questions.
There may be some from the public later, but Jane, would you like to come up and kind of talk about the process and the amendments or resolutions the board will be considering later here or after the hearing?
Good evening. Thank you very much. Jane Herndon from Ice Miller. Nice to see you all again. The purpose of this hearing is really to determine whether the annual lease payment is fair and reasonable for the Kittley improvements that you're hearing. As Mr. McWhorter mentioned, you've gone through all of the other legal steps to date, and just like the other steps you've gone through, we have maximum lease rental amounts, maximum term of repayment. The goal is that it comes in lower than what we expect. So really, this is just the next step. I can do summaries of the resolutions now if you would like. There will be several resolutions that you will be asked to consider this evening after the hearing component. The first one was labeled Exhibit A, or resolution authorizing the execution of the Third Amendment to lease. That is basically, after the hearing, approving that form of the Third Amendment. The financial terms that you heard Mr. Bowser go over are baked into that Third Amendment, and it would be also authorizing your officers to sign that lease agreement. The second resolution, then, is the resolution determining a need for the project. Clearly, you've done a lot of research and work on that over the year or so, and so that resolution is just required by statute that you determine that there is a need for the project. The next resolution is one in which you will be assigning the construction bids received to the building corporation because they're the issuer of the bonds. And therefore, they'll have the bond proceeds that will be held at a trustee bank. We also want the contracts to be held by the building corporation. That doesn't change the process that you will receive those bids with your construction manager and your architect. You'll make the decision on who is the lowest responsive bidder. This just authorizes those decisions or contracts, once decided, to be assigned over to the building corporation.
Jane, I'd say earlier today we actually had a meeting with the building corporation in which they approved their side of the documents in regards to moving this process forward. So,
and that included both the amendment to lease and accepting those assignments. The next resolution approves the fourth supplement to the master continuing disclosure undertaking agreement. That is an agreement that's required before an underwriter could buy those building corporation bonds. They have to assure themselves that you've entered into this type of an agreement. You may remember that is required by the Securities and Exchange Commission, and it basically says that you'll provide certain financial information annually on a website. And then the final resolution is one approving the issuance of bonds. It also gives the flexibility to authorize bond anticipation notes if needed. I don't think in this case that's part of our plan, but again, we're trying to keep as much flexibility as possible so that we can move quickly to sell the bonds when you desire. Any questions on those resolutions? Then you would open the meeting up to the hearing.
We will now open the meeting for any public comment regarding the Third Amendment to lease. Seeing no public comments, we'll go ahead and adjourn our hearing on the Third Amendment to lease at 6:26, and we will move into our action items. Action item A is approve the back-to-school plan.
Yeah, as the board received well over a week ago when Dr. Pettit sent out via Parent Square our back-to-school plan, we would ask for your approval tonight.
Can I get a motion and a second to approve the back-to-school plan?
So moved.
Second.
Moved Mr. Walker, second Ms. Folk. Is there any discussion?
So I don't know about the rest of the board, but I have had some questions from some parents just about, can we get some background on how the administration just came to the decisions about masks, no masks. I mean, nothing in depth, but just maybe a little bit of information.
Yeah, in our discussions and then discussions with the Marion County superintendents and then Dr. Kane, we really wanted to give parents discretion whether or not they wanted to have their child wear a mask or not. And so that's really what our decision was on mask or not mask, was if a parent felt their child needed to have a mask, then that's what we would have them do.
Any further questions or discussion?
I have a question. I'm trying to go back and look, if you can refresh my memory. Did we approve the back-to-school plan at the start of last year?
No, we did not.
So my concern is, what if a change needs to be made quickly, right, because of whatever's happening in our schools? We have a spike or in the number of cases. Does that mean by approving it tonight, do we have to go back and revise it later if a change needs to be made? And that means we've got to publish a board meeting and we're looking at hours. Is that how that would work?
Right. And so that's one of the reasons why last year we didn't bring it to the board, so that we could monitor the situation and change in real time. And that would be one of my concerns tonight, is unless you give us an approval that, in, for instance, if one of our schools spiked in the number of positive cases, we may make it mandatory that everybody has to wear a mask. Where tonight, if we approve the plan and then expect us to come back with another plan to change the plan, then that would be problematic as far as being able to do it in real time.
Right, and if we look at what happened, having kids in school last year or whatever, there was lots of changes that needed to be made. Necessarily get a lot of notice from Marion County Health, which is who we have to listen to, right? So I guess I'm concerned approving it as is without putting in a clause or something that says, if we need to make changes prior to 72 hours, we can approve it post-change or something, right? So that the decision can be made, so that we're not putting students and staff at risk unnecessarily just because we're waiting for the board to be able to get together. Does that make sense?
It's basically a clause that says the administration can make the decision, and we would approve it at like the next board meeting.
Right.
Is that kind of what you're thinking, Kelly?
I guess, yeah. Or I mean,
kind of mandates versus recommendations.
Right.
It's kind of, last year, everything was pretty much a mandate.
A mandate by the governor,
right,
and the mayor.
I just don't want us to be, I mean, I travel for work, other people have other, you know, even if immediately they told us we need to have a board meeting in 72 hours, hopefully three of us could be here and hopefully we could vote, but I don't want to wait for our kids and staff to make a change for us to get together.
So I appreciate that the legislature included the school board when they said that the school board needs to vote on or participate in the back-to-school plans. I felt last year, and voiced my opinion, left out of the planning and decision-making, as being a voice for the community, I think it's very difficult when I'm not part of the discussion and I, again, feel kind of left out. I mean, yes, you did a week ago send the back-to-school plan, but in reality, the plan was already made, and you were sending it out. So, yes, you said, here it is, let us know if you have any concerns or questions, but it was already made. Other schools involve their board in those discussions while the plans are being made, and I would just respectfully request that as things are changing, that we are kept informed as decisions are being made. And I realize that communication is difficult, especially in times like this. But when families are calling us, it's not helpful when we're saying, well, we don't know, or we need to continually get back to you. So I will be abstaining from the vote because the plan is already out there and it's implemented. I don't have a voice. It's in place. So
I think the most recent of Dr. Kane and superintendents, assistant superintendents, whoever attends that or whatever, was literally like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And so I've just kind of stayed connected with the leadership team to find out what they were thinking, what guidance has been given, right? And so I've had those conversations. I mean, we have to do things in real time, right? And so we're just now getting the final guidance from Marion County, and so I think they've been working, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but they've kind of put together these what-if scenarios depending on what Dr. Kane and Marion County Health would say, and then it has to come out. We start school next week, right? So I guess I would just encourage, I feel like I've had the information. I've participated in conversations, and I think others of the board have as well. So I feel like I gave input as part of this plan.
So I don't think it's the responsibility of all five board members to individually call and say, what are we doing on every single topic? I don't think that's how the board should be working. I think it is the responsibility of the administration to be sending out information and gathering and gaining input from the board. That isn't typically how board works after it was really already put together, correct? That is what was going out. They put it together, and then they asked us.
We could give feedback.
But it was done, right? It was done, and it went out the next day.
But we still could have gave feedback.
You're correct. It was going out, yeah.
But not until if you wanted to give feedback, you could have, right? So is there feedback? Are you opposed to what's written in the back-to-school policy?
I would have said we should have encouraged masks for elementary school. It is the CDC recommendation, and I would have said we should have been encouraging more strongly and requiring masks at the elementary school, at least for start. But, or at least had that discussion, and really, a month ago, we probably should have been getting input from the community and what those elementary families wanted. And if the vast majority of our families said, no, we don't want masks, that's not what we want, we are vaccinated, blah, blah, then I would have said, okay, that's really what our families want. But at this point, we have, as far as I know, no input from our community, no input from our families. We don't know or have any statistics that I know of that says, are Franklin Township families vaccinated? So it's very hard for me to sit up here as a board member and say we're making the best data-driven decision when I don't know what data we're looking at. The CDC really is saying we should be doing X, but we're not following that decision. So, I mean, it's hard to look at families and say, yeah, well, if you want to mask your child, go ahead. But we know that that's not what's going to happen for the vast majority of our kids.
How do you know that? just said you didn't know what the data was going to be. We may have everybody come with a mask on.
You're correct, except when I walk in Franklin Township and I'm in the grocery and the other establishments, I mean, I'm looking around and that's not necessarily what's happening.
That's why we gave your parents the discretion, because we're not seeing that. Yep. And we have received very few single digits of emails asking us to reconsider our decision, which only means that the other people are okay with our decision. Otherwise, we would have 300-400 people here tonight.
We did a survey. I know it's been a year, and a lot has changed in a year, but even a year ago, parents said they didn't want their kids to wear masks at school, right?
And there's even a difference between the CDC and Marion County Health, because Marion County Health says pre-K through second grade shouldn't have masks. They're not recommending them, and yet the CDC says those students should have masks. And what's the differentiator in our elementary schools between a second grader and a third grader? Because that's what we would be doing in our district. We would have K through 2 with no masks and third graders with masks. Well, what's the difference between the second and third grader? Or the third grader and the sixth grader? We just left it to the parents' discretion. If our parents feel better about having a mask, then they should have their child wear a mask, and we'll enforce their wishes with their child.
Before we move to a vote, Kelly, did you just want to make an amendment to basically formalize what you'd stated about giving administration the authority to make changes in real time and approve them at the next board meeting?
So I'll amend the motion. Sorry, I'm not on the right page here to know what you called this. I'll amend the motion to approve the back-to-school plan to say that if changes need to be made in real time, the administration has the authority to do that, and the board would.
Can I get a second to your amendment?
I'll second that.
Second. Mr. Walker, is there any discussion about the amendment to the seeing none, all those in favor of the amending the plan, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Abstain.
Abstain, yep.
The amendment passes with four votes and one abstention. So now we have an amended back-to-school plan. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the back-to-school plan, please say aye.
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 Abstain.
Abstain.
Motion passes four ayes and one abstention to approving the back-to-school plan. We will now move to our first of the many resolutions that Jane went through. The first one is the consideration of the resolution determining the need for the Kitley project. And again, a motion and a second to approve the resolution. Move, Ms. Folk.
Second.
Second, Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. The second resolution is the consideration of resolution authorizing execution of Third Amendment to Lease Agreement. I get a motion and a second to approve this resolution. Move, Ms. Gowan. Second, Ms. Folk. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Next item is the consideration of resolution assigning bids and contracts once received. I get a motion and a second to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Move, Mr. Walker.
Second.
Second, Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Next item is a consideration of a resolution approving the third supplement to the master continuing disclosure undertaking and issuing bonds. Can I get a motion and a second to approve this resolution?
So moved.
Moved Ms. Folk, second Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. And our final resolution is a consideration of a resolution approving issuance of bond anticipation notes. Can I get a motion and a second to approve this resolution? Move Ms. Folk, second Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Action item G is our second reading and approval of board policies. Dr. Pettit.
Yes. So the three policies, A275, school wellness, G375, community use of school facilities, and H175, school government agencies. The only thing that is different from the last, the first reading, is on the school wellness, A275, added the left out Franklin Township Community School Corporation in that very first sentence. Policy of the Franklin Township Community School Corporation. With the exception of that, all three policies are the same as the first reading. And so the request would be consideration of these three policies.
Can I get a motion and a second to approve A275, G375, and H175?
Motion.
Move Ms. Gowan.
Second.
Second Ms. Folk. Is there any further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Action item H, approve the readable English pilot for developmental reading classes at Franklin Central Junior High School. Dr. Kite. Can I get a motion and a second to approve the readable English pilot? Move Ms. Gowan.
Second.
Second Mr. Walker. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Action item I, approve MOU for educator aid. Dr. Schoen. Can I get a motion and a second to approve the MOU for Educator Aid? Move Ms. Folk.
Second.
Second Mr. Walker. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Final action item, approve the dual language proposal, Dr. Schoen. Research. Can I get a motion and a second to approve the dual language proposal? Moved, Ms. Gowan?
Second.
Second, Ms. Folk. Is there any discussion?
I'm excited about this. I think this is great.
Same. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. Smith, Mrs. Laker wanted me to remind the board that there's a lot of documents that need to be signed tonight, so if you could please stay until she dismisses you, that'd be great.
A lot of resolutions to sign. Is there any new business to be brought before the board? I know we have old business from our last meeting, which was the board meeting video and audio recordings posted on our website. And I know we didn't want to move forward with that until we could hear from Tyler about if there was any additional cost associated with that. So I want to hand it over to Tyler to update the board. There's our answer.
Is there a time commitment different? Sorry, I'm going out.
Oh.
That was the other thing that we had talked about last time. Like, I think you're doing all of this now, or somebody from your team is.
Honestly, for me, most of the time, you probably need an extra
Any other questions for Tyler? All right.
Then I would like to make a motion that we post the video recording on the YouTube channels for future viewing.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Gowan. Any further discussion?
Yeah. Is it technically the YouTube channel, or would it be on our website that would link to? Okay.
And on the website?
Yeah, and on the website.
So there'd be a link, you mean?
I was just trying to board a future meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
All
right. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Superintendent's comments. I'm going to give a video.
Wait, I had some more old business. Can we get an update on Skyward and what I know there was the contract was approved at maybe a March meeting because I wasn't here, but I don't believe it's fully implemented or available for maybe parents. And so I know I've been getting a lot of calls about lack of communication. So can we get an update on where we are with Skyward? Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all of that is available to teachers and access as well. Parents
So do we know, so if parents are asking or anticipating communication, do we have an estimated time when that will be up and running for them?
Yes, so when we launched the Wednesday.
Okay. So for now, they should be keeping their eye, really, if they are on Facebook or we don't do much with Twitter, but Facebook, they should be keeping an eye on Facebook or talking to their friends who are on Facebook is going to be their best.
Yes.
But by next week, they hopefully Parent Square will be up. Skyward will be working on both the student and parent app. And really, if they're asking, it's just because we were transitioning to the new system. We started the contract in July, and it really, timing-wise, it was just a little more in-depth than we thought, and it's just a snag, and they can expect it to be seamless after next week. Okay. Yeah. Well, they're just, yeah, they're anxious. Goal started.
Received, as a parent, I've received emails via Parent Square about what's happening.
Yeah, Parent Square still goes to your email, even if you don't have the app, even if you're having trouble with Parent Square, it still sends an email to the email account that's listed in our system. So, for example, I had a kid transitioning this year from 6th to 7th. The junior high information was still sent via the Kitley Parent Square to me, so I knew from my 6th grader going to 7th when I needed to be there for orientation, all that kind of stuff. So even though Parent Square hasn't pulled the kids up, the emails are still working, and the principals are working to cross-post those things so the parents see those things. The email is the hardest thing to get parents to pay attention to. They'll call, and then they'll say, well, I didn't see that email, or I didn't read that email. And then so we've got to direct them back to their email and social media, like you said. Schools are using that as well.
Yeah, and some parents don't have social media, so, and I'm not going to, I have one more thing for old business. Sorry.
It's okay.
So I know several months ago, and I couldn't pinpoint when it was, we talked about supporting, and actually it was not supporting, the building of apartment complexes, and there was a letter sent to the Land Use Committee. However, this month in the Land Use Committee, there was discussion about the corporation and the board supporting the trucking company on Post Road, but I don't recall, and I know I missed the March meeting, I don't recall having that discussion for either the board or the corporation. So I'm not sure if there was just miscommunication or how that has come up. So are we as a corporation and as a board supporting companies coming into the township, or is that
from a tax base standpoint, I think that'd be a great thing. That particular location is not around any residential areas per se. It's north of the softball baseball complex with access to the highway to get on and off the interstate. So it's appropriate location in my mind.
Right, but are we making an official statement that we're supporting that?
I don't remember if we wrote a letter or not. So sometimes we're asked, I don't recall honestly if we were asked on that particular project or not. I personally would be in favor of it. But.
And I've sent letters. I haven't signed them as a school.
Okay.
Personally, right? In support or against things that have come up.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about that. I don't know enough about it to know if I would support it or not support it. I just know that I got 3 phone calls saying, why are you supporting it? And I said, I don't know anything about it. And if it was at the March meeting, I don't know. The other thing is, and I'm not picking on you, Larry, but I know that's your land, right? And not your land.
It is
but
not.
You're the realtor, right?
I'm representing the seller.
Right, yes. So would we need to be careful? I mean, is that a conflict of interest? And
I'm abstaining from everything on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want somebody
I am representing
to say that
the seller
board
only.
Has a conflict
yes.
of interest. Okay.
I am not excellent. Representing the buyer, just the seller.
Okay.
But I want to abstain from any voting on that piece.
Right. So I just wanted to know that the board doesn't have a conflict and we're not involved. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
I'm done.
Okay. Superintendent's comments. Dr. Hibbert, I know you have a video, but
sorry.
Any other comments?
Well, just a little praise, first of all, Tyler and Cindy and Lisa and the tech team and all the building level people that worked on Skyward. Thanks so much. I mean, it's really been seamless considering it's one of the largest things you can do. So, Tyler, thank you and your team. Second praise with tonight, and I'm going to give the balance of my time to the video. Kelly's here, and Lindley and Tony spent the last 7 days from Sunday to Sunday hosting a national conference at Edgewood in which we had 16 states in the country of Mexico there, over 200 people. It was pretty incredible and on conscious discipline. So I wanted to thank them publicly, and then we have a little video to show what went on.
Great job.
I think it's awesome that we were the host for that.
We applied yesterday for an application process. We were pretty excited.
Any board member comments?
Yes, I just have a quick comment. Yesterday, the Franklin Township Little League for 13-year-old boys won the state championship for the state of Indiana, which is kind of exciting. There were, I think, 120-some-plus Little Leagues in the state of Indiana. So they came home first place. And they're all Franklin Township students. So.
I just want to say I actually didn't go. I sent my husband this year to the back to school for the kids to get all their supplies and books. And even he was impressed, never having done it, how smoothly everything went. And I know that there was tons of efforts leading up to that to make that happen. So just want to thank leadership and then all of our staff. I know that they come back this week, and I'm looking forward to school getting started. My kids are kind of getting there. They'll be ready on Monday. But thanks for all the efforts that have gone into getting us ready for 2021-2022.
Definitely want to echo that. You know, welcoming our staff back this week and hoping for a strong start of school on Monday. So for all our students. Any other comments?
Yeah, I'll echo that as well. Just super proud of everyone, and you're doing a great job, and excited to start the school year.
All All right, seeing no more comments, I'll go ahead and adjourn our meeting tonight at 7:06.